Jiaosan, you should drop that beat to start the show before I lift up my fupa and show you how I really feel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Jiaosan.
Hi everyone, Johnson with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas, baby. Yeah, keeping it real. All right, we're going to talk about, today, dating apps. I'm only speaking from my personal experience with them. I've reviewed these apps for the last 6 years. Some of them are new, others of them have been around for a while. I'm only expressing my personal opinion under the First Amendment. So this is not in any way a judgment against these companies or their interests or affiliates. Let me make it abundantly clear. This is only my personal opinion. Okay? It's up to you to form your own opinion about things because you may have a different experience. I want to make that abundantly clear. Because some of you don't think for yourselves. And you try to align your opinion with someone who has their own. Now, it's okay if it's a coincidence and you experience or see the same thing. But it doesn't do you any good if you come in there with a bias. Because that impedes on the experience that you have experienced. Right? So if you go in with that bias, you're looking for certain things. But if you go in there, like I did, with these dating apps, you'll be able to form your own opinion. And nothing's wrong with that. Now, I'm not saying this in a condescending way. And audience, please understand. Condescension is something I despise. I just try to make sure that we are on a same level of communication. That's it. Because I want you to form your own opinions on things. All right. First one, we're going to start with OkCupid. What I found on this, and this is no indictment on any of the dating apps, because the people that sign up for the apps actually make the app, not the app itself. The app is nothing more than a software. I found that the people on OkCupid, the women in particular, are very rude, and from what I've gathered, it seems like they're at a point of let's get past getting to know each other. How can you help me? Can you give me money for rent? Can you pay my cell phone bill? Oh, they go straight for the jugular on OkCupid. They ask you how much money you make, what kind of car you drive. And what I found is that many of the women that are on there are not that sophisticated. Just my opinion on it. Hinge. A lot of flakes. A lot of people with issues that they leave dormant. X factor issues. They may still be married, but on the profile they'll say they're divorced, say they're single. And one other note about OkCupid, I noticed that a lot of the women that I met on there were separated. They were still married. But they were acting like they were single. On Hinge, it seems as though they were concealing the fact that they were still married. And many of them had some pretty challenging situations. I found that Hinge served more for women who wanted to hide some things that were going on in their lives. OkCupid, it was more direct and more out there, where the women would tell you in your face what was going on. Bumble. I see why it's a first move site. And fellas, I've always told you, first move sites where women make the first move many times over those women are going to be in a more fucked up situation than any other woman you'll find. The ones you pursue will probably be a better choice than the one that pursued you. Now, I signed up with Bumble for 1 week. And let me tell you something. The pricing on these dating sites are now ridiculous. They don't make any sense to really throw your money away. Now, true enough, here's the thing. And this is a different perspective for some of you. When I see a woman that pays for a lifetime membership on a dating site, what I see is someone that's going to be perpetually looking. Even if she finds someone, she's still going to be looking. I don't know about you folks, but I'm not tying $250 up on a dating site. And I'm on a fixed income. Now, as I said, all of this is my opinion only. It's up to you to make your own judgments. Whether you agree or disagree, it's up to you. Now, when it came down to Plenty of Fish, personally, I run into nothing but bullshitters on Plenty of Fish. People that have these superficially high standards, and most of the women wanting just a one-night date where they eat for free. Now, the women on Plenty of Fish that I've run into, if they were married, they would tell me up front that they were married. And the way they looked at it was, the relationship is not going to last long anyway, so why don't we eat and fucking get it over with? That's pretty much what I got from Plenty of Fish. Now, I can only go on what's happened here in Vegas, okay? So maybe elsewhere, you may have a different experience. Our time, I've run into a lot of Trump supporters. You know, they'll put the patriot word in there. So you knew going in, you're going to be dealing with a lot of seniors that are more conservative. Now, the problem I found with our time was that even the women who were liberal, they were these complicated liberal women. Oh yeah, they're out there. Everything has to be so complex. The tea they drink, the regimen they have for their everyday lives. It's fucking tiring and boring just to hear them say all the shit they have to do. And what it comes down to is that they have so much time on their hands, they have to fill it up with bullshit. The one lady was telling me about the regimen that she does for her skin. It takes almost 2 hours. She does this every day. And I had to listen to this shit. Not to mention when she talked about her pet lab. And we talked about the dog for about 2.5 hours. Because I was like, fuck that dog. Now, I know a lot of you pet lovers are out there. How dare you? Folks, let's be realistic about something. Some of you have treated your pets better than you've treated people. Some of you treat your pets better than you do your family members, some of your friends, some people that have really stuck their necks out for you and helped you out when times were really fucked up. And the reason why many of you do this is because of anthropomorphism. You have control over an animal, and that animal is dependent on you. Don't get me wrong. There's some genuine pet lovers out there that really love pets. Now, there's nothing wrong with them because they're companions. Like I said, you have a security team here. 2 Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier. But here's the thing. They will never replace the affection I would have for a human being. And this is where some women mix it up. Now, on our time, I ran into a lot of that. A lot of women that put more emphasis on their dogs than they did even to pursue a relationship. Now, I have to remember, too, that some of these women had experiences in their marriages that may not have been the most pleasant. They may not have had control in their marriage, but they have control over the dogs. Well, it's all well and good. If they want that kind of lifestyle, they can keep going on with it. The other thing, activity partners. Fucking waste of time. This lady wanted me to go hiking last summer. It's 100 and some goddamn degrees out here in Vegas. Even when the sun goes down, it's still hot during the summer. And she's talking about going hiking at dusk. I don't know about you. I'm not going on no fucking trail when there are rattlesnakes walking around. Or not walking around, but crawling around. Not my cup of tea. Why the fuck would I want to go out in the desert and sweat? And then you run into those seniors that are trying to still be young and they're doing all this exercising, going to the gym every damn 5 seconds and all this shit and walking around. What I'm getting at, what you'll find on our time are people that are more extreme in their efforts. And it takes away from getting to know the person. Again, my experience alone. Now, let's carry on, shall we? There have been some new dating apps out there. Now, oh, Badoo. B-A-D-O-O. What I found on Badoo was a lot of women that were looking for marriage so they can get a green card. As I said before, it has nothing to do with the companies. It's all about the people that come on the site and signs up. I ran across the majority of people spoke Spanish, which I do as well, so there wasn't a problem there, but the agendas were different. There was one lady I met, she's 58 years old, talking about she would have to get married before she could be intimate with someone, and this woman had 5 kids. You think I'd wait around to fuck you, and you already have 5 kids, and you 58 years old, get the fuck out of here. Your pussy is not that good, lady, under no circumstances. But that's the reality of it. Now, carry on, shall we? Like You, L-I-K-U, is an app that I downloaded after seeing it on TikTok. So far, it's been pretty good, very interactive. The women are younger, but it seems like there's more of a dynamic of connectivity with it. So far, so good. Now, with any of these apps, you got to deal with the pricing. And this one's priced very reasonable. I would venture to say, folks, if you're just going to try an app out for a month, don't spend them $130. Don't spend $45, $50, $60. It's not worth it. It really isn't. And see, they have it now where what's happening is a lot of people are not using these dating apps anymore. You could tell by the price increase. You could tell how they're incrementally charging for every little thing on there. Because even if you pay for some of them, if you pay for the full premium package, whatever the fuck it is, they still want to get extra money out of you to boost. They still want to get extra money out of you even to chat and contact people. Because in some apps, they actually limit that. It's not your fault that their industry is dying. See, the way I look at it is like this. You know, like when COVID hit small businesses and you had people, these small business owners talking about, yeah, you know, I'm a killing the community, et cetera, et cetera. And there was one guy that said something that was kind of interesting. He said he didn't want to lose his dream. Who gives a fuck about your dream? That's your dream. Those people that worked for him were worried about their livelihood. And their livelihoods were fed by his dream. Well, if it's not feasible or practical to function, and you can't make any money, fuck your dream. You got to survive. And a lot of people don't like doing that. Sometimes you got to put shit on hold in order for something else to be successful and survive. But you want to have your cake and eat it too. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you got to leave the cake there and try to save your ass. Eating the cake is a luxury. Now, the other thing. There was another app that I went on. And it was, let's see here, because I tried to have a lot of them downloaded to test them to see how they worked. because I find it kind of interesting because most of them don't advertise. So it's like a hit and miss. Now, of course, you know, you have Ashley Madison, which is really for fairs. And usually you'll see a considerable amount of women went on those sites, single women, looking for married men in order to get a come up. But that's what it comes down to. Woo Plus is the next one. Woo Plus was a grave disappointment. Only speaking from my perspective once again. Woo Plus is, for those of you who don't know, an app for larger women. And what you find on there is a lot of teasers, a lot of large women who are teasing. Many of them are not in no condition to really pursue a relationship. If anything, they're stuck in bad ones. And they want attention. So think of it as more or less Instagram for fat women. Yeah, I said it. Because that's what it comes down to. Now, if you're into that, no problem. But what I found was that the majority of the women that contacted me on there, they wanted me to text them on their phone. And then there were some women that were putting it in code as far as how much they charge for sex and that kind of thing. So you're basically dealing with people that are selling pussy or in bad relationships, and they want to get you off platform because they don't want their partners to know what's going on. The next one, Magnet. Now, Magnet was okay. You don't see the person that you're chatting with. You see the avatar, but you don't see them until after, I think, so many back and forth, and then you finally get a chance to see the person's picture, profile, or video chat with them. Please keep in mind that you'll probably be chatting with an ugly motherfucker and not know it until the last minute. It'll be too late to hit the brakes before you had that accident. Then we have Vibe. Vibe is also a cool one. It's a new one. Again, came off of TikTok. Still trying to really get into sync with it. But it seems to be okay. It's one of those apps that, personally for me, would have to grow on me a bit. Because I'm not really attracted to it. Because, well, for one thing, I'm very skeptical about apps that are always trying to push you forward to upgrade and ask for money all the time, because it seems to me I'm being hustled. So the jury is still out for this particular app for me. I'm not a fan yet. Okay, let's go on here. Adult Friend Finder. Well, we know what that's about, right? AFF. So if you're into swinging, group sex, or finding a partner that's, you know, going to be sexually oriented, sexually based, that might be the deal for you. We have FetLife. FetLife is an app that's primarily geared to people with fetishes. Now, the one thing to keep in mind with these sexually oriented sites and apps is that many of these relationships don't last long. One night stands, and even if you find somebody that you connect with, the lifestyle outweighs your relationship in most cases. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I don't want to take on the burden of a relationship with someone because that would slow me down from what I'm doing. That would impede on the lifestyle I already have. So that person will have to get with the program. Now, these are the ones that I've reviewed recently. And of course, you have Match. Now, one thing I found about Match is this. Match has a variety of people on there with different interests. It's not a situation where you would think that it's just a vanilla dating site or dating app. Match believe it or not, is more like a meat market. Because what a lot of people do on sites like Match, they're looking for someone that's kind of naive. So, for instance, I was on there, this was about 2 years ago, and there was a lady that hit me up, and she wrote in the message that she was a submissive looking for a dominant black male to lord over her. Well, it's kind of odd to get something like that on Match. But then, that was just the tip of the iceberg. More and more women were making sexual requests. And these women were Caucasian, some were Latin. But it was more like they were looking for dick more than anything as one in a relationship. I said they'd go on a platform like that. Now, I went on BOK. And what I found on BOK was a lot of women with attitude, which is typical. And black people meet. What I found was a lot of individuals that were, it was kind of interesting. Some of the black women were posing to be white women on there in order to attract black men, which I thought was hilarious. Now, the other thing about black people meet, they have a lot of foragers out there. In other words, people that would approach you because they wanted to have threesomes and that kind of thing. I'm talking about people of other races. It's like a clearinghouse for black folks as they view it. And I'm just telling you my experience on these sites. It doesn't mean that it's any kind of indictment on any of them. I can only talk about my personal experience. And here's the thing. It's not the fault of any of the providers of any of the services. They can't control who signs up for their service. Now, many of the other sites, you deal with a lot of scammers. Now, that's one thing that I will give credit to many of the sites that I've mentioned so far. I did not run into that many scammers on those sites. So kudos to them notching up their security a bit. Now, Facebook dating. Some of you have written in about Facebook dating, the horror stories and that kind of thing with Facebook dating. The problem with Facebook dating overall, even though it's free, is that many times people don't want to know, want other people to know who they're hollering at. And see, that's the downside to Facebook dating. You know, it shows you how many mutual friends, you know, you guys may have in common, that kind of thing. And then you got to deal with them going through all your pictures, going through your profile, that kind of thing. Even contacting some of the people in your contact list who might not have ever met you. And those who know you and they're afraid to say anything because they don't want to say the wrong thing. So, you have that challenge with Facebook dating. Now, I know for some of you, you feel as though you're above online dating. Online dating is only for the dregs of society. Others of you think that online dating is such a horrific experience, nothing but horror stories. You have horror stories even when you meet people face to face. You know, the divorce rate did not tick up just because of online dating. The divorce rate in America was high well before the internet was invented. And the reason why was because they were the same kind of people. The only thing that was different, you met those folks in real time. And they could sit there and bullshit you to your face. At least now, you can see where there's a slip up online compared to somebody being that damn good that they could bullshit you in your own face. Big difference now. Their game doesn't have to be as tight. Now, a lot of these dating apps have these bullshit games on them. You know, like you could become a princess, a dragon, or whatever. and some of them have a live component. Now, one thing I'm going to tell you guys that you probably notice, you will find people that will go live on the dating apps regularly. Many times, those folks are just looking for the attention. They're trying to have this huge following. And then they're going to say, oh, you can go to my Instagram or you can go wherever. Because they're trying to transition people from one platform to the next. So they don't have to pay for the dating app or dating service. This is how some women were starting out with their OnlyFans page, Instagram pages. They start out, they'll go on a dating app. They'll get this following of men. They'll leave their social media info, and the guys will go and definitely add them onto the social media. So it makes them not only more popular, but in some cases, they make them money with endorsements. So they do that as well. Now, if you're looking for somebody for a relationship, you don't need to go live for that. You could actually just do video chat with a person that you're interested in. So what that tells you, fellas, is when she's going live all the time on a dating app, more often than not, she's looking for attention. She's not looking for a man. See, there are some women out there that just look for just that attention. I want the acknowledgement and the affirmation of a man. I don't want him. And you have some women that go through their whole lives that way. They want to be gawked at and looked at. And yeah, they along the way, they may fuck a guy or two. But for the most part, they don't want to get serious with that guy because they feel as though if I got serious with him, he's going to diminish my value. So I'm going to stay the woman that all the guys want to sleep with. Why do you think they conceal the background for some actors and actresses that are out there and singers that are very popular? They don't want them to know that they already have someone, unless they've already made it. And the reason for that is the allure. We learned this years ago. I remember a marketing course I took years ago about the entertainment industry. And they were talking about this in particular. Viewing the talent as a product, as a commodity. And the best way to market it is to frame that person in the image of what would be perceived by the audience. So if that person had a boyfriend or girlfriend, you did not emphasize that. You did not release that information. You kept that dormant. And so by doing so, now this was prior to the internet. So it would appeal to a broader audience. So if she was female, and even though she was married, you didn't want to bring those things up and press releases and those kind of things. You just wanted her, female, talking about whatever she's doing. Being that she was going to draw men in because men wanted to sleep with her and be with her in their fantasies and so forth. And the women wanted to be like her because she attracted men. And she could have a whole full-blown career doing that with these men all over her, crazy about her. And they don't know who she's dating. They don't know who she's sleeping with. None of that. Of course, now, with everybody trying to make a buck every way they can, and with technology so pervasive, it's easier to do that now. But see, that contributed to the longevity of careers. Because see, what would happen, they would lose a certain demographic of men. If the woman revealed she was married, pregnant, or something like that, they'd be like, ah, shit, somebody got her. Let me go fantasize about somebody else. Instead, they kept it under wraps. You especially saw this in sex industries, a lot in foreign industries and so forth, because that was going to ruin the revenue for that person. What they don't know will keep you paid. What they find out will probably break you. Look at the current events right now. Oh boy, the darkness will come to the light, and when it does, the cockroaches scramble, don't they? I remember years ago, a friend of mine said he went over at this girl's house that she was dating in South Central LA. He said, old girl came in there to turn the light on in the room. And he said he could have sworn the cockroach crawled up the wall and turned it off. But what killed it for me was when he said that he went in the living room for her to get dressed and everything. And when they went to the damn restaurant and they paid for the meal, he was going to go into his pocket to take out his wallet. And he said he felt something on his hand. He looked down, it was a cockroach looking at him. Oh my God. Poor fella. When he told me that, I lost it. But, in all seriousness though, you're gonna have to be careful about the price you pay for things when it comes down to online dating. I know it sounds petty. I know some of you are saying, oh, well, it's only $5 here. It's only $44 for the month. I can get it for $90 for 3 months. Okay, that's fine. But just keep a tab on it, especially you fellas, because this shit can add up. And there are dating apps out there in some cases where the women, once it's verified, they can actually be on it for free. And the men have to pay. I've seen a couple of those, but they hardly had anybody on. I think they had like maybe something like 1,000 people. And I don't think those apps are ever going to make it to prime time, because they're poorly written, poorly put together. Now, some people are using social media to meet people. Just regular social media. Snapchat and so forth. A lot of women are putting themselves out there. Now, again, what that means is that you may have to do a little bit more due diligence and a little bit more work in order to find out more about them. But you may come out better with more social interaction with them, where when she's comfortable, she'll open up a bit. But in the initial stages, it may be kind of difficult. So just keep that under your belt. We'll talk more in just a moment.
You have new mail.
Ciao, son. This is Alex, and I'm faced with a difficult situation. I started dating this lady last week, and it's only apparent that she has a 35-year-old son that has no intentions of leaving. I think she was trying to groom me because she's asked me to start talking to him about moving out and growing up. I don't feel as though that is my responsibility. She was 55 years old, and it seems to me that this should have been taken care of before we started dating. As of last night, I told her that I had to think about a few things before we were to go forward in a relationship. What are your thoughts about this?
Alex, your assessment is spot on. You're doing the right thing. You don't even need my opinion or thoughts on this. But one thing I will tell you, you just touched the tip of the iceberg. Let me tell you what's going on here, Alex. You're right. She is grooming you to come in there and to be the savior for her. She wants you to be her voice in telling him that he needs to move out. That's not going to happen. And I tell you why. Because she failed as a parent in that regard. Now, I know parents are very sensitive about this subject, especially women, because men are always talked about being a failure, especially if there's a divorce. Oh, he's the worst thing that was ever created. Can't tell you how many women I've dated, and they've talked about their ex-husbands in such a way, and boyfriends in such a way, it's like, damn. But you never hardly hear them take ownership on anything. Because see, men are always vilified for coming up short, even when they don't. But now, here's the thing that I want you to look at too, Alex. there's a good possibility that she's single because men see this and they run away. I've had to run away from situations like this numerous times because she's going to team up with that son no matter what. Now, she's going to defend him. She's going to feel as though it's none of your business. You're intrusive. Because, see, what she wants you to do is to be the voice of reason to him, but that's it. When it comes down to enforcing the things that you've said, that's where everything stops. Now, she's probably said that, you know, I've tried talking to him, I tried saying this or this, and it never worked. It never resonated with him. It's not supposed to, because he already knows. He's got her beat. And it's all because of the way she coddled him. So he could never take her seriously. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if this drove a wedge in her marriage because of the exemptions her son had. Now, there's a few women that have written in about this particular situation. There was one lady, she was in her 60s. Her husband had passed away. Her husband bought the son a brand new car. Tried to help him out in order to get on his feet. So he was in his 30s. And mom was trying to get him out of the house because she wanted to sell the house. And then she wanted to travel. She had a new boyfriend and they were getting ready to go on this cruise. But the problem was the son didn't want to move. Well, to complicate matters, the son started dating this woman who was still married. And when she and her husband had issues, she'd come over to their place. Now, mom, I don't think, knew this woman was married initially. Well, married woman wound up getting pregnant by her son that didn't have a job. And then mom eventually became his benefactor. And she was wasting resources that the husband had left behind for her to live off of on him, finding PlayStations, those kind of things. Well, eventually, the woman and her husband had a falling out, and something went down. She went back to her husband, and this young man at the time took it upon himself to go over to the house, to their house. Now, by the way, I forgot to tell you this part of it. The mother was paying her son's child support from a previous child he had with another woman. He goes over to this woman's house, confronts her husband. He winds up getting locked up. Mama once again puts the house up to get him out of jail. He has to pay for an attorney. The man's going to press charges for assault. And now, the mother feels as though, well, damn it, the woman is going to have to move in because she doesn't have a place to stay because she can't stay with the husband when he gets out of prison, out of jail, because he's been in domestic violence issues before. And so this married woman is going to be moving in to her house. She's not going to sell the house, so she's stuck. And she wrote me out of her frustration. But see, this is what happens. And the problem is, it leaves these young men ineffective when they go out in society. They become feckless. A lot of them. They have to wind up getting a woman that's going to take care of them. This is one of the reasons why when I was a younger man and dated older women, I made it a point that those women were not going to be the motherly type. I wanted a woman. I didn't want a mother. I wanted a woman who knew her body, knew what she wanted out of a man, and treated me with respect and dignity as a man, and not a kid, and not someone she had to take care of, someone she had to mother. As soon as I saw that a woman had those tendencies, I'd break it off. I'm not going to be your son fucking you. That's what you're thinking, lady. And see, that's the thing. That married woman was older than he is. She's going to own it. And when she gets mad, fellas, she's going to remind you of how ain't shit you are. So, Alex, you did the right thing in this situation. You told her you're going to think about it, but you actually made a decision already, and the answer is no. You're just doing that out of courtesy. And she's used to being told no to something like this. Now, what's going to more than likely happen, Alex? She'll probably come over to your place and give you some pussy. And she may try to persuade you to give it one more try. It's not your burden. See, a lot of times mothers are their own worst enemy because they want the best for their sons and their daughters. But some of them don't know when to stop, when to cut it off. And that's what you're dealing with here. Because the kids know how to lay on that guilt to keep your ass on that damn hamster wheel, ladies. You didn't give me enough attention or affection when I was younger. You paid more attention to my sister than you did me. And then before you know it, there you are. I've had friends that wound up getting into situations like that, where they became so dependent on mommy. And one friend of mine, when his mother passed away, he was on the streets for years. And then he got with an older woman. That older woman cleaned him up and treated him like a child. He had to ask permission for shit. And she would always berate him and degrade him. And I'll never forget one day he called me up after he got himself together. He said, "Hey man, you know, you ought to come over. We're cooking some steaks and we're barbecuing outside." And he invited a few other mutual friends. We got there. She talked to him as if he was some kind of servant, complaining the whole time. "You're just lazy. You ain't shit." And I'm like, and he's like, "Oh, she's tripping." No, she wasn't tripping. What she did was she tried to make you in some way see that you have put forth no effort, because everybody's put forth effort for you, that you don't know how to put forth effort for yourself. Because see, what you have to realize, folks, is there are men out there that are not prepared to be men. They're going to be taken care of. Soon as I got old enough, my mother taught me how to wash clothes, iron, all of the domestic shit. But she told me, she said, "I don't want you depending on no woman, and you're damn sure not going to be depending on me to do any of this shit for you. Let me know up front." As soon as I got my driver's license at 15, Mom quit driving. I had to do all the driving. Picking up, dropping her off to work, that kind of thing. Didn't mind it. But what I'm getting at is women that coddle their kids and they worry so much that as these people get older, now if the mom is sick or something like that, I can see the son or the daughter staying at home to take care of the parent. That I can see without a problem. Or if they're concerned because the mom is in a real bad neighborhood, a good neighborhood turned bad, where they're offering a layer of protection. I can see that. But none of those things apply in these situations. And this is the thing I'm talking about. So, sir, I would tell you, step away. She may come back and only want to go out with you one time or go dancing or have sex with you or whatever. That's her relief, because of the fact that she still has that burden around her neck. You see, two things that females that are parents run into. one, the son not leaving the house. And number two, the daughter that may leave the house and collect babies and then want mama to take care of them. A lot of these grandmothers now are saying, no, I'm living my life, to hell with you. And they have to say that because they've been saying yes so long. And yet they feel guilty by saying no. But sometimes you have to. Because if you don't, what was the purpose of you rearing them if you're still rearing them? At some point, they should have some maturation date, right? They should grow the fuck up and take on responsibilities. But some won't and don't. And once when mama's gone, some people are not prepared to function after that happening. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a definite challenge. So Alex, the only thing I can say to you on this, man, is you made a good assessment, a great decision. Don't be pulled into no bullshit like that. It's not your responsibility. Apparently that kid had a father at some point, wherever the hell he is. He has more influence than you because he created him. More in a moment, folks. Hi everyone, Jocelyn with you here, Las Vegas, baby, yes. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about several different things. We're going to talk about a text message, well, not a text message, a voice message I got from Alex. Now, Alex was on the show being interviewed because Alex has a preference for black women. And if you recall the interview, Alex was talking about how he had issues with the way black women treated black men, in particular with them using the N-word against black men. Well, that was a whole different ball of wax for another day. Well, now he's faced with another problem. And in this situation, he's dealing with a woman who has a grown 35-year-old son, and she's 55. And she wants him to get out of the house so she can actually start dating again and having a life. And he refuses to go, and she's trying to get Alex to be the policeman. Now, those of you who've been listening to the show, you already know how I feel about this. Fellas, you ever get faced with this, you already know it's time to leave. You don't even fuck with it. And don't feel sad for her, the mom, because she's been through this before. Men had left her before over this whole same scenario. And she wants to find the one sucker that's going to go in there and save the day. Now, the reason why I call this person a sucker is because of the fact that, oh, let me tell you, if that relationship is severed between she and her son, guess who's going to be to blame for it? You. Even though she wanted you there in order to get him out, she's going to also hold you responsible for severing the relationship between she and her son. Fellas, I've been through that before. And that's how it usually ends. And I didn't even cut the apron strings. She did. But she came back and blamed me for it, telling me if I wasn't in a relationship with you, I would have never had to do this. Well, what the fuck do you want? I know you want it both ways, but damn. And this is what some men face. And fellas, when you're faced with this kind of situation, don't fuck with it. It's not your problem. Let her stay in that state that she's in, because what she's going to wind up doing is sneaking around and fucking men, because she's never going to find somebody who's going to put up with her bullshit. Because she'll even suck you in to the point of trying to build a relationship with him to kind of get him to move or convince him to move. And then Don't let him have that conversation with her. Oh, mommy, I don't want to leave. It's scary out there. And his ass is right back there. And he's looking at you like, ha ha, thought you got me out of here, didn't you, fucker? So, fellas, be very careful about how you choose your battles. Personally, that's one battle I wouldn't have chosen. But it's up to you. Now, there are a few things that we need to come to grips with. The reason why I stress thinking so much on this show over your feelings, it's very simple, folks. It was said by a wise man in history. Thinking is difficult. So that's why most people judge. Because when you judge something, you don't have to think about it. That's the premise of racism in this country and in the world. As long as you don't know anything about it, it's foreign to you. And as long as it's foreign to you, it's unrelatable. It's irrelevant. But unfortunately, some people are foolish enough to do this with relationships. They don't think before they love. They get into the relationship and realize, oh, well, shit, I just can't make this off of my feelings. There's some illogical shit going on that I need to bring up. And of course, that may start an argument. Definitely. Now, one thing I've always done when it came down to dating, I've been very reserved. As I told you, I'd observe women. I sit back. And if I saw this woman that was trying to get all the attention and tried to interject herself in every conversation that was going on, try to take it over, and then would come in with some foolishness, not necessarily to promote the conversation or advance it in any way, but to be controversial so she'll have the attention. See, fellas, sometimes women that really want that attention but don't know how to really approach a guy to get it, they'll go and say something absurd during the conversation, especially when she's not involved, because she wants all eyes on her. And as I told you before, a fool will always use their speech for attention. A wise person uses their silence for knowledge. Two things you'll realize dealing with these women. That's the reason why I told you, that woman who's reserved, who's observant, that's going to be your best bet for a date or a relationship. She's thinking things through. Another wise man in history said, and I agree with this 100%, if you are worried so much about your perception through the eyes of other people, you will always be a prisoner. Without a doubt, that's very true. Some of you date and marry people that society and your parents want you to, even though you may not love that person, but you're still going through the motions. The motions of appeasement. So you never really got fulfilled in living your own lives. Someone else has lived it for you. Some of you will literally have to wait until people die in your family from old age and of natural causes before you could actually be yourself. There was a lady that wrote me recently. She just turned 67. Her 83-year-old mother passed away. And this was the first time that she felt as though I'm free. She petitioned for divorce. And this female that she's known for many years, they've had feelings for each other. And now she's decided to go on and pursue those. But she wanted to stay respectful and true as long as her mom was alive. But was she really living her life? Was she really being who she was wanting to be? No, she wasn't. It is never too late to be what you were destined to be. Who put the constraints on you? You do, and society does. And many of you are living your lives by society's requirements when they don't really have the authority to be in your life like that. But some of you are so guilt conscious and worried about what everybody thinks about the criticism and the judgment. You got to remember, when people judge you and don't know you, they don't think either. That's the reason why they judge you the way they do, so harshly. And they're thinking they're using logic. You know, when I talk about people say, don't judge me, that's because they know they're doing something messed up. If you really pointed out what they are doing that's messed up, they'd have to admit that they're doing something wrong or something that's inappropriate. Hell, on this show, when I talk about don't judge me, when I tell you something, I'm bullshitting. I have to be accounted for it. I have to account for what I told you and tell you, don't judge me. Whatever I did, I knew it was wrong. And I did, and I owned it. I have no regrets. That's one thing I could truly say about my life. Even though some things didn't turn out the way I wanted them to, I have no complaints. I really didn't have to be here. And I made it. So the least thing I can do is enjoy what I got as far as an existence. We suffer more in our thoughts and beliefs than we do in reality. We can just look at the things that we can think of. You start hearing a funny noise under the hood of your car while you're driving, you're thinking, oh my God, I need a new engine. You lift the hood and find out it's just a fan belt. Doesn't warrant a new engine, just warrant another fan belt. But what we do sometimes, we take things to the extreme, worse, to try to prepare ourselves without knowing the facts. We do that with relationships. Hell, I walked up to a lady one time years ago, and I said, look, I know I'm going to get dissed, but blah, 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 blah. Well, she made me look like a damn fool. We wound up dating. Sometimes we come in with these pre-assumptions without knowing what we're dealing with. Now, the other thing we need to look at, we need to think about a couple of things. If you're in a relationship, do you want to be the smartest person in the room? I know I don't. I don't want to be the smartest person in my department when I worked. I didn't want to be the smartest person when I ran my business. When I worked in broadcasting, IT, and all the rest, I never wanted to be the smartest person. Even with this podcast, I don't want to be the smartest person. Why so? Because that means you lose your capacity to learn. Because you become overconfident in what you don't know. You guys bring in messages and you write in emails that boggles my mind sometimes. Some of the shit, I don't know how. And I sit there and scratch my head. There was a gentleman that wrote me earlier this month, I think on the 5th. You talk about problems, fellas. This dude got his baby's mama pregnant. Figure that one out. Try to explain that to the family. Now, I wasn't going to read his email because he asked me not to, but I did contact him back and ask, was it okay for me to talk about it? Now, I can't go into details because there's some emotions running mighty high right now in that household. But one thing I can truly say, I don't even think I'd want to be a fly on the wall in that house. Could you imagine what it's going to be like when he tells the baby mama if she doesn't know already? Her boyfriend done fucked around and created her sister. But see, this is the kind of shit that happens when dysfunction is accepted, tolerated. Now, this guy was living with the baby mama, his child, and her mother. And he done fucked around and got the mama pregnant while the daughter was at work. And this guy is not working. So he's got two women taking care of him, a mother and her. And here's the crazy thing. Even though they probably might be at odds against each other, I don't know the specifics because he didn't go into detail. But I can tell you one thing for sure. I guarantee it'll be a united front like a son of a bitch if anybody comes in there and challenge them as a group about what's going on. And they shouldn't. It's their business. And what this young man did when he wrote in, he was talking about his insecurities. How was he going to tell his baby's mother? Now, I'm sure the mom is going to have a talk with her daughter. And he's going to be the bad guy for a while. And I know some of you guys out there with your low-thinking asses are like, that lucky bastard. Shit like that's not funny. Damn. That means that he's going to be daddy and brother-in-law at the same time. But no telling what will happen with that. Godspeed to him. Hopefully they can resolve it. The other thing we'd have to look at, life, the life you're living right now, the very existence you have, it's all based on your thoughts. You've thought yourself to be where you are. Oops. A lot of people don't want to hear that shit. A lot of people don't want to hear that. We don't think about it because we're so busy trying to survive, trying to make ends meet, trying to do what's the best for us, not thinking the whole time that we're actually thinking about our own welfare. And our own welfare sometimes includes thoughts that put us in situations that are fucked up. Situations that may not be the best, but it's better than nothing. When I was homeless for those 2 years, people would look at me and ask me, how the hell can you be homeless? You have a job, you have a nice car, you wear nice suits. I said, because it's a sacrifice I chose to make. And you get the, if it were me, I would never do. Well, it wasn't you. And guess what I didn't have to do? Spend up to 12, 13 years trying to pay off a debt when I could pay it off in 2 years. Which I did. But see, they didn't want to be inconvenienced for the sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice in order to advance. You know, it's like when engineers create a rocket booster and it fails. It fails miserably. They realize the design was horrible. And they start from scratch. Well, you have some people that say, you know, shit, I'm not going to start again. I'm done. And you have others, yeah, you know what? Now I'm going to take what I learned from that failure. I'm going to apply the positives from it, the countermeasures to it, and the advances in order to make it better. That's what innovators do. Losers walk away. Walk away. The other thing to remember, by not being the smartest person in the room, guess what you realize? You're in the right room of life. Because you can learn something you didn't know before. But if you're the smartest person in that room, oh yeah, you're pretty fucked up. Now, the reason why I share these things with you folks is to help you avoid some of the pitfalls in life. Some of the things I went through, some of the things I witnessed. And some of the things that are still out there. Because life doesn't have a caution sign or a lot of warning signs. It doesn't have a book that tells you everything you need to look out for. And hopefully at some point, I'm going to have the time to go and finish this book. So it will help people kind of understand some of the circumstances they can work around and don't necessarily have to deal with. Because see, what you're trying to do with life is have a ease of use of it, of life, where it's not that complicated. Haven't you ever dated someone and you guys would literally have to talk about 15 to 20 minutes before you start the car up about where you're going to go to eat? Why the fuck would I want to be in a relationship like that? And I've been in those kind of relationships. Everything's a complex project. I don't deal with those people because they're not worth the time, the effort, and the resources. And they use that sometimes as a form of entertainment. That drama, because they try to reenact the shit off of BET or off of telenovelas or whatever. There ain't no time for that shit. It's not a scripted show. You're not being paid as an actor. Your time is valuable. So, you're more focused on the possibilities of being successful in your relationship. And you want to skew the probabilities in your favor. Nothing's wrong with that. That's what we do as humans. That's the reason why many of us live in cities as opposed to remote areas where resources are hard to get. We do what things that are better for us in the long run. But sometimes we like to challenge ourselves. And sometimes we bite off one we can actually chew. And we realize we have fucked up. And it's hard for some people to admit when they've made mistakes. Because they're, look, some people, their self-esteem is so wrapped up in them being right that when they're wrong, they're devastated. They feel worthless. And a lot of this has to do with an inferiority complex that was established maybe at another time in their lives. I know growing up in Mississippi, society would have liked me, that society that was in charge, would have liked for me to have that low self-esteem where I'm always down, no need to get an education, feeling sorry for myself, the stereotypical thing that they wanted many African Americans to experience. I refuse to do it. Just because you have lighter skin and lighter eyes doesn't entitle you to shit. Because guess what? If an earthquake happens, a tsunami, or whatever the fuck, you're just as vulnerable as I am. And you'll die just like I will. You're not special. You're different. That's all. And of course, you have some people that put God into it as if they have a personal relationship with God, someone that's probably never spoken to them personally. Even though they say, but hell, I can say God told me to do this or that. Doesn't necessarily mean that it happened, does it? And how many people that have done horrific things in the name and in the eyes of God? And then you're dealing with individuals that talk about, oh, well, you know, I got to go and ask for forgiveness or pray for forgiveness. Well, if you were doing whatever you did and God's supposed to see everything, well, he saw what you did. That's the reason why, like, you see them church women go to church sometimes. Well, when I was little, I was like, damn, I wish I was God. They could see everything. I would have liked to have seen that damn female choir director naked. I ain't even lying. That's the way it was. Y'all are lucky I am not God. I would have been the most perverted bastard ever. I would have written the Bible myself if I was God. I wouldn't have let nobody else write. Nope. I'm going to put some shit in there that you need to... man. Nope. And on the first day, we were fucking. And on the seventh day, keep it holy and horny. I would not have been. I would not have been a good religious role model for anyone. I realize that. I accept that reality. I have no problem with it. But, you know, some people, they have their issues, and I know some of you have written in, tell me I'm going to hell. Like I told you, I already got the condominium reserved. I'll be between Mussolini on one side, Stalin will be behind me in the second apartment complex. Hitler will be next door neighbors. And it's going to be a tough time, I'm sure. But we'll all get along in some capacity, I guess. I don't know. So sending me to hell is not scaring me, folks. You know what scares me? What would scare me the most, believe it or not, if some way, somehow, God told me that my punishment was to stay alive on this earth for the rest of its existence until mankind was no longer around. That would fuck me up permanently. Seriously, it would. Not that I'm one of these people that's ready to meet my maker, but I gotta be honest. I'm gonna be tired of swiveling my head around into infinity. Can't trust this motherfucker. Can't trust him. Can't trust her. I should get old after a while. And no, I don't believe in the milk and honey after you die. Because see, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm just going to be quite frank with you. If it comes down to me having to die in order to be happy, no thank you. I'll take it here on earth. Thank you very much. Streets paved in gold in a place that nobody's seen, but only imagine. Costco selling gold bullions now for, what, $2,400 each? Think you can get a max of five? Something like $12,000 total. The way I would have probably written the Bible would have been, every man should have at least two women. The reason being, when one jumps in his ass, he can go to the other one. And then when the other one gets pissed off, he can go to the other one. Some of you fellas have written in, and you had a dispute with your wife or your girlfriend. You went to work and thought that shit was over after 8 hours. And you come back and she's picking up right from the very word that she left with. And she's stealing your ass. It happens. It happens. So when you choose your partner, you got to make sure you choose wisely. Because I had that happen to me a couple of times. I remember this one girlfriend I had, Brenda. I'll never forget her. She got upset because I wouldn't take her to the LA County Fair. Well, the reason why I didn't take her to the fair was because I had to work. They offered overtime during that time. We had a major project to get done. And it just wasn't feasible for me to go to the fair. Well, for me to pick her up, go to the fair, drop her off, come back, have enough time in order to get ready to go to work. Told her that. Made it abundantly clear. She agreed at first. Oh, boy, but that wasn't good enough. Nope, nope, nope. She gave me one of them, mm-hmm, okay, I understand. So I'm like, okay, she took the troops away, so there's no battle. She called me up. You're going to probably take some other woman there with you. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I am going to work. Prove it. Call me at work when you get there. Okay, on my lunch break, I called her at work. I don't believe you're at work. Let me talk to one of your coworkers. Why did I choose a female coworker? She was the only one in the barrack room at the time. Then it was, oh, I know you fucking her. Now, the lady that was my coworker, she was in her 60s. She was married for God knows how many years. I left her on speakerphone so she could hear her. And she said, after that conversation with her, she said, you need to get rid of her. I was like, yeah. Now, here's the irony. After I got off work, guess who was waiting in the parking lot? Brenda. Guess what she had done during the time I was at work? She went to the fair with her girlfriends. Tried to make me feel like shit by telling me well, you didn't want to take me, etc. And I told her, I said, you know what? You can take your ass home. I'm tired. I knew she was at the damn fair. I heard the stuff in the background. But I played it off like I didn't hear a thing. Then, of course, she told me. I said, well, that's great. Are you going to invite me in? No, mm-mm. You're a man, and you're not going to invite a woman into your place, and it's late at night? I said, well, if you don't feel like driving home, you can come on in. So let her come on in. Then she tried to get cozy. Then she started feeling around, trying to fondle. And I said, no, because there's going to be a complaint with that. No, but I'm just insecure like that, and I just want to make sure. After we had sex, I was a dumbass. Yeah, I slept with her. Next night, boom, there she is. So what are we going to watch on TV tonight? All right, next night went okay. But the next night, she also asked, when am I moving in? Mm-mm. Next morning, she got up, took a shower, packed her shit, and left. Left me a real nasty message on my answering machine. Called me all kind of names. Names I had to look up in the dictionary. I'm like, damn. But mission was accomplished. Got out of it. Some of you fellas are not so lucky. Because the pussy get good to you and you stay. I look at it this way. You got to prepare yourself sometimes. You know, like you got rain-resistant clothing. I have pussy-resistant decisions. I'm not special. The only thing I did, after being burned so many times by women because of their pussy, shit, I had to get an immunity to that. Because some of you guys, she put it on you, you sucking your thumb and shit twirling your hair. You got to keep things in perspective. Because if you don't, some of these women that have you doing some crazy shit, fellas. You write in about some of the shit some of you do. Woman that broke your heart and already started a new relationship with another man that's got an engagement ring on her finger. And what do? You buy another engagement ring to try to top the dude. She's already left you. There's a gentleman that did that. Trying his damnedest to win her over. When she said no. Co-signing for cars. Putting women on leases. And some of you ladies doing the same thing for men. Getting mad, getting jealous. Sleeping with their best friend in order to make them jealous. Foolishness. It's not that difficult, folks. But we make it that way. We complicate the matters. We don't have to. If we were honest with ourselves, we would just want someone that loved us, that we can love back and get along with. All this extra shit you put into it, that's the complication. Those are the problems. And we hate to admit it. We really hate to admit it. And we really like the way things are. No matter how we complain, no matter how we bitch, we just want someone to hear it. I really, years ago, back in 92, when I started the message board, I had no idea. I thought that something like that was stupid. It would never work. And it started by asking a question. I asked the question, what is love? And I got a lot of responses back from people, men and women. And then I asked more questions. People started opening up more. And I thought it was kind of cool that that was happening. And then when we got to the bulletin boards and the blogs, and now we're on podcasts. Over the years, There are a lot of people that want to get things off their chest, but they have to be selective about who they do it with. And usually they want to do it with a stranger. Someone they had no dog in the game. They want to do it with someone that doesn't know them. Last thing they want to do is purge to their family members and friends. Because many of them realize that that shit gets back to the person that they're dealing with. I'll never forget a friend of mine that slept with one of his girlfriend's best friends. I told him in the beginning not to do that because she was just a little bit too flirtatious when they met. That best friend was just doing a little bit too much, sitting on his knee and all this shit while he's talking to his lady, the one that he really wanted to focus on. And his lady looked at her girlfriend as being harmless. Oh, she does that. Every time I get a boyfriend, she does that, and I do it to her boyfriends, etc. I kept telling him, he said, man, she cool with this. I don't see what the problem is. Well, you know what happens with fellas when we pair off with a woman. We quit hanging around our friends, and we kind of go in that direction with our ladies. That's what he did. No problem there. So next time I heard from him, we're at the club, and he showed up, and he said, yeah, man, I done tapped her girlfriend. I'm like, wow, so you guys have broken up? Oh, no, we still together. He said, I just told her that I love and would want to be with and have a relationship if things didn't work out between me and old girl. Well, when he saw his girlfriend again, verbatim, she quoted everything that her girlfriend had said to him. Bye-bye. Thought he had his cake and could eat it too. You got to watch that. There are some women that have no intentions of being with you. They want to sample you and that's it. Just like ice cream. You know, when you go into these ice cream parlors, they'll scoop up a little in a spoon and give it to you. So you get a taste to see whether or not you want to buy it. Women do that with men a lot. Some men do it with women. But the thing is, women can do it and walk away. As men, what we try to do is, oh, we had one sample. Let me see if I can get a second sample of that, a third, a fourth. I'm going to get as many samples until they cut it off. Because we get greedy like that. We get comfortable. That's us. More in a minute, folks.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.